So overall, we have God's intimate knowledge of God, God's law internalized, and we have forgiveness of sin. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Here is a whole nation, without exception, that have had forgiveness of sin, that God has saved them. It says in Isaiah, the nation will be born in a day. That's all of them. Forgiveness of sin. Oh, that's quite something for the nation of Israel. Let's turn the page, please. Let's have a look at this in a little more detail. And here is something from the New Schofield Study Bible, page 6, which reads, the new covenant of Jeremiah 31, 31 to 40 and 32, 40 is one of the significant covenants of Scripture and is remarkably full, stating the time of the covenant, the parties of the covenant, the contract in covenants, Mosaic and new, the terms of the covenant, the comprehensiveness of the covenant, the basic features of the covenant, the perpetuity of the people of the covenant, the guarantee of the covenant, the rebuilt city. Let's just note these briefly as we go through. Have your Bibles open. The time of the covenant, verses 31 and 33. The time of the covenant. Behold, the days are coming when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Undoubtedly, I agree with Bible teachers that say whatever this phrase, behold, the days are coming, is eschatological. That is, an end time, climactic, in the return of the Lord Jesus. In other words, this is messianic days. This is the days that Israel will see the Lord Jesus like the brothers of Joseph saw Joseph. A real revelation. That's when it is going to be. Now just keep that. We've got other things to do during the day. Who's involved in this covenant? Well, undoubtedly, without any ambiguity, it is the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So it is the northern kingdom and it is the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom has gone off in the Babylonian captivity, 726 BC. Judah is facing final destruction, 586 BC. These two kingdoms that should be one, they are the candidates. They are the parties to the contract. The house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not just individuals, but the nation. It's a national contract, as are all the covenants in the Bible. Individuals do get blessed. Now notice the contrast here, point 3. There's a contrast in covenants here. We read about a covenant that God was disappointed about. We know it as the Mosaic and the New, or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and they are contrasted. The Apostle Paul refers to the Old Covenant that is read in the synagogues in 1 Corinthians 10. But notice what he says, and there's a comparison. It says in verse 32, it's not like this. And verse 33, but it's like this one that we're going to make. It's not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the land. There was a contrast here. And verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make. The not like, and but it will be like. So this is an important covenant in the Old Testament, beginning at Exodus 19. And taking us right through to the end of the Old Testament and up till the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not like this one. Thundering, lightning, judgment, a fence around so that neither man nor beast would transgress because of the judgment of God. And there are two main reasons for the giving of the law, just briefly, and they are one revelatory and the other is regulatory. revelatory is all that comes to the nation of Israel from God, and regulatory is particularly the regulations that have to do with the priesthood and the offerings and so on. Two chief functions. But then we come to the new covenant in verse 33. And it says, there will be an internalization of God's law, the mind and the heart will be touched. The heart and mind will be touched. Let's see that. I will make, in verse 33, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. So there's a great internalization there. And we have mentioned Romans 2, verses 14 and 15, that the heathen nations have the work of God's law written in their heart, so that there is conscience working and there is restraint there. If that wasn't there, humanity would be like a train express, and run itself into absolute disaster overnight. There is some restraint by God on sin. And that's why it is internalized even with the heathen. It is limited. It is limited, but sufficient to condemn. And we have mentioned this in point 5, the comprehensiveness of the covenant. And this thrills me. All shall know the Lord from the least to the greatest. None will be excluded. No class, no distinction. Everyone will be totally blessed amongst Israel by the grace and the glory of God. And then we have in point 6 the basic features of the covenant, which is in verse 34. A knowledge of God and a forgiveness of sin. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. And that's where it's recorded. Right there. Help me here, will you? I found this on the website a few weeks ago, and that looks like a ring to me. Would you agree? Somebody's done this, a design with light, and then the light, we have a heart shape here. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah, that really touched me. Trying to work out whether they were talking that's the heart of God or whether it's emphasizing, I will put my law in their heart. Perhaps that one. If you've got some idea about it. But these are important words. We haven't got all of them here. We can't read all of this to you, except here we have Num Yahweh, Vakrati Ek Beit Israel. Says the Lord, I will cut with the house of Israel. Incidentally, the word covenant means to cut. Let's find another one here. Or this is the covenant which I will cut. Yes. There's 32 there. 33.